Toucher.
Oh my God.
And Rich.
Are you kidding me?
Toucher and Rich.
Embarrassing to America.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Larkin going slowly with the right-hand dribble. Now attacks Rubio. Over the shoulder pass. Ogilvy swings out to Jaylen Brown. Three in the air for the game.
Goal.
Get it. He got it. Jaylen Brown goes crashing to the ground as the Celtics get a three with 1/10 of a second remaining.
Ah, this puppy's over. Ah, sorry, Jazz. Go home. Find some more music to play. Jingle bells, jingle bells.
Caller says that Jingles is a nickname that for one of the players on the Jazz
team. It's probably Joe Ingles. I mean, if it's a nickname, I would think that that's probably who it is. See, look at that. Somebody interpreted Cedric Maxwell-ese. I am glad, finally.
So, Josh, thank you for that information.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Ainge is the president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics and is brought to you by GE. GE is creating game-changing solutions and advanced analytics for peak performance on the parquet. GE, the exclusive data and analytics partner of the Boston Celtics. Mr. Danny Ainge, hello, sir.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
We are doing well. Congratulations on the win last night. Quite a nail-biter there.
That was a great game. Our guys played really, really hard the whole game, I felt. We didn't play well the whole game, but our intensity level was at a high level, and it was fun to see other guys contribute to our victory. It was fun.
In basketball, how tough would it be to sign a coach to a lifetime contract?
Yeah, no, I mean, I have no idea what that means, but
Just what Brad Stevens did, I mean, last night, obviously, he's been doing an excellent job with a depleted team on many occasions this year. But when you look at what he did last night with, we were saying it earlier, you know, five of the top seven rotation guys at the first game of the year are out, and you've got all of these backups on the court, and, you know, all of the star players are pretty much out, and they're somehow able to pull it off against a desperate Utah team. What do you think of what Brad Stevens has been able to do with these guys who aren't the typical stars of your team?
Well, I mean, and on top of that, so many of them are rookies.
Yeah.
We have so many young guys that don't have a lot of NBA experience and haven't really had a lot of chances to play this year. So, you guys know how I feel about Brad. He's done an amazing job this year, but he's an amazing person, and we love him as our coach, no doubt about it.
Okay, Danny, so we haven't talked to you since Kyrie Irving got his minimally invasive surgery, as I know is what it was called. And first of all, can you kind of give us an update and let us know what's been going on behind the scenes and how Kyrie is and when you do expect him to return?
You know, I honestly don't know when with Kyrie. We're just sort of waiting for the surgery to heal, and he hasn't really done anything yet. So I don't really have an answer for you. I mean, that's why when the wire was taken out, it's minimally invasive surgery. But, you know, he hasn't played basketball for, I don't know, 5 weeks now, 4 or 5 weeks. And by the time his knee's healed and has a tendency to atrophy in that situation. So we just want to be careful that we're not jumping the gun or putting extra pressure on Kyrie to return when our team needs him. We just want to be sure he's healthy.
Now, the way that this has been described, this surgery, it sounds like something that could have been done at any time. Were there any conversations during the season about possibly doing this earlier? That way, if it did go successfully the way it did, he would be ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, no, there wasn't really any conversations. Kyrie, we knew that this existed in Kyrie when we made the trade. We knew all this stuff about him and that it might happen at some point. And I mentioned that to you guys on the air before. But doing it sooner, there was no reason to because he wasn't experiencing any discomfort. I think over the last year, which they, you know, he played 100 games last year, including the playoffs, and this year, you know, he had just the same type of soreness periodically, but nothing that would keep, that would prevent him from playing. So there was no reason to have that discussion.
So,
until after, you know, games in March started, and it sort of, it lingered longer than it had before.
And it hit a level that it had not hit before. Is that why he decided it? It just got to the point where he couldn't continue to play, or was it just, I thought this would go away by now, so I want to get this surgery?
Yeah, no, I think it was more that. It was more that, you know, the pain wasn't significantly more than it had been over the last few years, but it was more persistent. And, you know, usually a day off and he would be back at it again, but this one lingered longer, so that's why we decided to go in and do it collectively.
Are you concerned this could affect him for the rest of his career, that this could return?
No. Not concerned at all about that.
Because you got, because could you kind of clarify, because when the statement came out from you guys, they said that everything, I mean, basically it seemed to be a best case scenario. Is this fixed now, this problem, after, now that that wire has been removed, is his problem essentially fixed?
Well, no, I don't know the answer to that. But I'm saying, when I say like his, it shouldn't affect his career, I'm just saying like his knee is very structurally sound. It's not like a long-term thing. There could still be some challenges that, you know, we tried to do a minimal amount of surgery at this moment, and it might require some more, but we don't know any of that. I'm just guessing. I don't know. I'll probably have a much better update on how he's doing and when I return. I'm with the team right now, and I'll see him tomorrow.
How about Marcus Smart? What do you have any updates on how he is doing and when you believe his return will be?
I don't. Again, you know, timetables are tough. Like, we always want timetables, and there aren't any until we get right down to when guys start returning to the court and doing normal basketball activities, and we're not there yet with Marcus. I was with Marcus last night watching a game with him, and he's doing much better. He's in good spirits. Still has a splint on the hand and isn't really allowed to do much with it. But he's going to be fine.
Other than the amount of injuries that have happened to your team this year, and sometimes seasons are like that, what has surprised you about your team this season?
I mean, I'm just they've found ways to win. Like I said, we haven't played great. All the time. We had some offensive droughts, but our defense and our just persistence, just everybody's been playing hard, and we have good leadership in the locker room. Obviously, we have a terrific coach and coaching staff, and just it's been fun to watch just because of all the adversity that we've gone through from day one. To watch this team play the way they have has been very exciting.
Does it surprise you that you're probably going to have more wins this season than you did last season, with, on paper anyway, a much better roster?
I think that, yeah, I think on paper our roster is much better than, we're obviously missing a lot of really terrific players that haven't been able to play most of the year, but I'm just, like I said, I mean, it's fun to watch guys that don't get opportunities, that get opportunities and go in, and, you know, winning in Portland and winning in Utah on this trip is a huge accomplishment for this group. And even Sacramento's been playing some good basketball lately, and it's been, I'm just enjoying the moment with these guys.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, obviously this road trip has been, so that Portland game was excellent too. I mean, these are teams that needed to win, and the way they've been able to rally. I mean, you hope to see that obviously in the first round, because we know that even if these people do come back and get healthy, more than likely it will be in the second round. So it's nice that they're getting this work out there and a little bit of confidence. But with only a couple games left in the regular season, Danny, are you able to officially rule Gordon Hayward out for the rest of the season?
Are you? You're asking me that again?
Well, he's hoping the answer will change.
Right. No. Have you ruled him out officially yet?
You're on the stand, Mr. Ainge.
I don't.
First of all, First of all, I am not a doctor. I am not the guy. I just do what they tell me to do, and I am not expecting Gordon to be booked to play at any time this year.
That's right, but okay. You're leaving a door open, Danny.
He thought
wait
you were kidding
next week.
Yeah, I don't know.
You've never said that he will not be back this season. You've never said that to us.
I know, because I'm not the doctor, and but I'm saying I am not expecting him to play.
Okay. All right, you're not expecting him to play.
Until
right.
he does.
Until he's back.
Until he does. And then you're gonna
got a chance.
And people are gonna be like, what's up with Ainge? He doesn't even know that Hayward's coming back.
He was out of the loop on the whole thing.
Yeah, give me a break with that. So, Danny, they asked LeBron James who should be MVP of the league, and LeBron said, LeBron. do you think he's got an ego?
Oh, I'm not going there, you guys. Listen, he's had a spectacular career, a spectacular season, and I honestly don't care who wins MVP. And I think that, you know, he could say what he wants, but he could make a case. He's an unbelievable basketball player.
All right. Danny, have you been able to read any of Ray Allen's book since it's come out?
No, I have not.
Okay. Well, there's a part in it where they talk about, you know, how everything went down with the championship team, and a lot of it has to do with the rift between Ray Allen and Rajon Rondo. And in the book, it said that Ray Allen was told that he and Rajon Rondo are being traded to the Phoenix Suns because you and Rondo didn't get along. What do you make of that statement, and what happened there? What's he talking about?
You guys, oh my gosh. I mean, I love Ray, and I'm always be grateful for Ray and all that he did for the Celtics, but that is absolutely not true. And I don't know where that's coming from, but I wish that these guys would get themselves back together and make some peace. But, you know, I certainly don't like hearing about it, because there's a lot of things that I've heard that are not true. So I don't know where it's coming from and why this issue even persists.
It is strange because, I mean, now he's dragging you into it. I could see him not getting along with Rondo, but, you know, he's kind of throwing you under the bus here and saying the whole reason that the trade was going to go down was that you and Rondo didn't have a good relationship. I mean, was there any kind of tension that you can think back to that he might have looked at and blown up into something that really wasn't?
No, not at all. I don't even have any idea where that came from, and I don't remember any tension there, and I don't. There was no tension there, and I was never even close to trading either one of them to Phoenix.
Okay, what about Big Baby? Have you been keeping up with him in the news lately?
I did see a tweet that lately, but that's all.
Okay.
You see that he is the world's smallest private plane?
Yes, he did make that video where he...
Danny, if you didn't see it, he's in this private plane, and he's got this suitcase full of money in his championship ring.
And he's eating Popeye's chicken.
Well, but regardless, he can't sit straight in it. The ceiling of... It looks like a nightmare. The ceiling of the plane is so low that he can't even straighten out, which is, I don't know why you get the plane. But Danny, congratulations on everything. Congratulations. Looking forward to the playoffs. Looking forward to the return of a lot of your players here. And we always appreciate, sir. And thank you for all the information on Gordon Hayward.
All right, guys.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
All right, see you,
we
man.
Appreciate it. So Ray Lewis did not sell out the Wilbur.
Ray Allen. No, as a matter of fact, he was having a hard time. I went online, and you can see on the Wilbur's website like what seats are available. The reason I know this is because when our show went on sale, I checked every hour on the hour because I was freaked out that it wouldn't sell.
Yeah, understandable.
So as of yesterday, it did not. Now, I don't know anybody who went, but I did find out that any questions that were to be asked of him had to be submitted ahead of time.
I knew that, yeah.
And had to be screened. And all I wanted to know was about what's up with getting catfished by a dude. Yeah. And what ended up happening with all that. So none of that.
Well, well, we can truly say we're more popular than Ray Allen.
Yes, I guess we can.
Because we sold out the World
Bank. Yes, we did. All the seats, too. I think he had like a bunch of seats that were blocked up.
He had a perfect opportunity to sell out the remainder of his tickets. All he had to do was come on this show.
Yeah, I heard about
it. And he would have sold out, and it wouldn't have been a problem, and he chose not to.
It's T&R on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Kutcher and Rich.
Okay, keep doing it.
The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich.
Can I just first of all say Boomer Esiason pronounces the word queso queso?
Yeah.
And I'm not the only one to notice. I turned
it very annoying.
Did he just say queso? And we got a ton of tweets, and I don't know why, but that drove me crazy.
My dad, one time when we went out for Mexican food, it was so foreign to him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was at the time a man, late 60s, early 70s, he called the fajitas. Like, he's like, what are these chicken strips in this pan? What could they possibly be?
It's the fajitas.
Indeed. All right. So what's going on with this whole Overwatch thing?
Oh, okay. There's quite a scene in the other room, by the way. All morning long, this has been very interesting. So we have a situation, which we talked about last week, where now, and I like it. I'm glad they're here. I just got to figure out what, because this all started and happened without me knowing anything about it. I don't think Fred knew anything about it.
I don't know even what you're talking about.
Okay, because the way the show is set up is that we have Bird and Nick, and they usually answer the phones, but they switch off days. So I don't even know the schedule, but neither of them are usually here on the same day. And all of a sudden, when I come back from vacation, they're both here at the same time. And once again, I like having more hands than we have to have. I don't know how that works payroll-wise or anything like that, but I'm glad they're here. I just got to figure out something for them to do. But what I have learned is that on days that Bird is answering the phone, Nick is trying to find something to do. And I believe this morning what he has been doing is playing Overwatch. He's been playing the new thing that John Wallach is going to be set up, because John Wallach, Fred, while you were gone, became a hero to the Overwatch League, because even though it wasn't of his own doing, he's been announcing the scores during his headlines, so all of these gamers immediately assumed that Wallach was like a massive fan and was like this Overwatch guy, so he now has like thousands of followers, or 1,000 followers.
I've gotten 1,000 new followers since I started reporting.
What is Overwatch?
It's a first-player shooter game. You walk around these worlds and you kill aliens or other people or that kind of thing.
It's a game that Gordon Hayward is into.
Yes.
And he is like one of these guys that will go on and record himself taking on other gamers with his little face in the corner, and it's all these people like screaming at him and him shooting him, and we played some of the clips of that. This is what it sounds like. Here's what this sounds like for when one of these guys gets online and does it with all of his friends. This is from this is a guy playing Overwatch.
They're gonna push her in. Are we home
safe? Get lost! Get lost!
I'm pushing you, sis.
Oh my god! I'm running out! Let's go!
Come on.
It's gonna
be. Yep. One's outside. Control street. Control street hurt. Control street hurt. Control street
hurt. Let's go! Let's go!
He's on me! He's on me!
Oh my god, I feel bad!
Okay, oh my god, I feel bad.
Yeah, I thought you were going to play the chicken coop one. That was the best one of all of them.
So these people get on there.
Are they in the same room?
No, a headset. It's like the guys from all of they link.
They're playing
in
where they could be around the country. They could be in the same town, but no one's in the same room.
Someone was in a mall or something.
There's chicken coop guy.
Right. So Wallach, because he's an idol, a golden idol to these people. We got to get that. This is his walk-in song.
Yeah. That's when the pyro goes off.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's the Gap-Tooth Warrior comes walking in the Overwatch.
Right.
And he is now, the people from the Boston Uprising says, we got to get him in to play with the best of the best. So they send him a bunch of Overwatch League
I have an
stuff.
Overwatch League. I have a Boston Uprising uniform.
Wow.
I have a hat, flat brim. I have a hat. And they furnished us with an Overwatch game, and Nick has set it up in one of the many empty offices we now have.
So we have been trying to get this thing going, where Wallach would go up there and wildly disappoint his fans because they have this false impression that he's like really good at this. And so I'm learning now, according to Nick, and I don't know how this can't be true, is that Wallach has to go through like 20 different stages or something before he
that
can
I
actually
did not
go
know.
Online.
Is that right?
There's no way that's true.
I had no idea.
Nick, what is the deal? He has to go and complete like. There's a microphone. You work in radio. Get up on the mic. So he has to do what before he can actually do any of this?
Well, I originally thought he had to reach level 25 before being able to play it with other people, but that's not the case. He can jump on.
Okay, good.
So why would you have to? That would completely ruin the game for everyone if you have to train for weeks to play.
Yeah,
right?
It would be the stupidest. Yeah, of course it would be dumb as hell. You couldn't play the game once you actually got it. So do we? Is everything set up now for like a week now?
Everything's set up. We just need a webcam.
Well, that's a problem. Okay, yeah. So we need to get that.
We're working on that right now.
We have a headset too, right? We need a headset also.
There is an office here because so few people are here that it's just set up for playing Overwatch. And all morning long, Nick has been and Bird have been like trading places trying to play this video game.
You should show up in the office and Bird's just sitting there playing.
While the phones are ringing.
And Dan tells me they're both going at the same time.
That's smart.
Bird came in and gave a very detailed explanation of what Overwatch was.
Yeah, and what was it?
It was kind of like his description of the movie that he reviewed.
Everything else we've done with Bird.
I don't like women. And then he left.
Yeah, guns, aliens, killing.
I don't even know if he said aliens. You got guns, you know, you walk around and then you can pick up stuff.
Right. Okay, well, that seems to be a decent encapsulation of what this is all about.
So I'll save you the whole having him explain it on the air.
All right, so we're going to link you up with the best of the best, and you will wildly disappoint all of them, and we will get that going. There's
nothing like being yelled at.
He has
cyberspace.
To come up with a handle, right? Like a fake name. But Bird, we don't need you. Bird, we don't.
Can I say something real quick?
Okay.
If he wants to play with the super nerds, he has to reach level 25.
Okay.
So he can play online normally.
Okay, so if he wants to play with, like, the best people, he has to...
Yeah, the Overwatch people have to be level 25. Well, I think we can skip that.
This just sounds like it's not going to work.
All we need is the right equipment, Fred. Yeah. The game is set up.
I'm seeing it.
Actually, in fairness, we just got this.
We just got the game. Yeah, now it's set up. We have the place. We just need headset and camera.
If you want to spend the next month... getting to level 25, have fun. So with the off chance someone might yell at you, just read Twitter.
Honest to God, that's the best thing you've said in a while. Just read Twitter. All you need to get yelled at. It's perfect.
Right. So God bless you. If you want to sit in that room and play Overwatch,
it's true.
Have fun with that. But it's nice to know that a lot of people are into the video games. And I told you one night I ended up watching people playing Madden, professional Madden players.
See, that's strange. I wouldn't watch. See, Madden. Why not just watch football then?
Because football wasn't on. I don't know. Because I guess people don't play football professionally, and then they feel like they can do this. I don't know. But listen, as long as I don't got to do nothing, you guys have fun. The Overwatch thing. All I want to do is rub Wallach down with oils.
And that will happen soon if indeed Jason Tatum gets that average of 13 points or more.
Oh, yeah. I lost the bet, and I'm being told that I can't rub him down with oils. Which is all I want to do.
Which I never agreed to. Never agreed to it.
The other audio says otherwise.
Okay. Okay. All right, Rich, we have the stack coming up. What are some things we'll discuss?
It looks like Rob Gronkowski got himself an acting gig, a show that I don't think really anyone expected to do half as well as it did, earn massive ratings in its debut this past week. And Roger Goodell speaks and responds to questions about whether or not the new catch rule was used for Super Bowl, and Patriots fans are angry.
Oh, here's that one.
Toucher and Rich.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
.985 The Sports Hub. We are touching Rich. So, Ray Allen was in town yesterday. He was over there at the Wilbur, correct?
Yeah, he was doing something for his book. It wasn't until yesterday that I realized what the hell was going on as far as the format of it, whether people could ask questions. And we were supposed to have him on the phone. Of course, he got blown off. But a guy has been tweeting me, Lamar Price, who's a very funny comedian here in town. But he was there. Lamar, so you went to the thing last night, right?
Well, actually, guys, it's Lamont.
Yeah. I thought it was Lamont, but I saw up on the thing it says Lamar here. And I'm like, huh?
And I knew it was Lamont. Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Lamar's an extra on Good Times.
So what happened last night?
I couldn't tell you, man. It was crazy. Like, I went there for, I wanted to laugh. Like, I was hoping somebody would ask catfish questions. And I didn't realize till I got there that it would be pre-selected questions. But I didn't know what to expect. And I got to be honest, the place was not packed. A lot of empty seats. So I don't know what he expected for the tour. But
how did it go? Like who's on? Like, what was the format? Did he have some up on stage with him asking him questions?
Yeah, he had some guys from UConn asking him just tossing him softballs. The set was very much like, you know, because it was called an evening with Ray Allen.
Right.
They had the set had like a Persian rug on the floor. These two kind of, you know, masterpiece theater chairs, mm-hmm. and like the whole it was like a black curtain all around, so it just looked very Charlie Rose.
Okay,
and so that was the setup, and then Ray Allen came out, and he was dressed like a supervillain. he had purple suit on, like a purple suit on. I'm gonna be honest, I've never trusted Ray Allen.
Uh-huh.
I'm a Team Rondo guy through and through, but it was just the weirdest thing. He told a few insider stories about like the draft and a couple of KG stories, but it seemed like he went out of his way not to mention Pierce or Rondo.
Oh, really? So, I mean, because the Rondo stuff is what's selling the book right now, at least to Celtics fans, and that's right. What's getting all the press. So he just danced around that and didn't address it?
He came out the gate throwing George Karl under the bus about some stuff that happened in Seattle. And then he mentioned, without naming names, there were players that he's played with that he didn't think were that disciplined. But he wouldn't name names. He not even just Rondo, which I know was the chief, had to be the chief name he meant.
It's in the book.
Yeah, that's the thing that drives me crazy, is he said his name in the book. Why would he shy away from doing it in front of a crowd?
He's telling stories in his book, and then what, he's afraid to share them on stage? Now,
he's a fake good guy.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Now, it does seem that way.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Did you, like, was he concerned about book sales? Was there an opportunity to buy the book on the way in and on the way out, or...
No, you were given a book when you walked in.
So why the hell is he not telling the stories? Like, the stories are in the book. What a moron. So what he did is he said, here's my book.
Yep.
But in order to get this, I'm going to bore you to death for 75 minutes or whatever the hell it was.
Pretty much. When you walked in, there were a stack of books that they were handing out to people as they walked in. And then after the show was over, we walked out. I promise you, that stack of books was probably higher.
Like, after everything I heard, there ain't nothing in this thing.
Way to sell the book by not. Hey, you know what's a good idea is maybe telling someone something about the book that's interesting instead of dodging every question. What was the reception for him? Was it positive?
It was the people that were there was very positive. I feel like a lot of people who went to UConn were there, because when UConn was mentioned, biggest applause of the night was for UConn.
Oh boy!
But it wasn't a big crowd. I feel like that the Wilbur holds about 1,100 people.
Yeah,
and I was in the balcony, and the balcony was light, and the floor I couldn't see the entire bottom floor, but I would guess tops 200 people.
Oh, jeez. Okay,
That's my guess. I could be way off, but that's just what it looked like.
Even if you're off, that's still disappointing. I got to know what the most controversial question was that got approved before it was asked to him.
It was the questions that were given to him weren't controversial at all.
Yeah, you don't say.
The only time he mentioned Rondo one time, and it was very begrudgingly, because they talked about the night he broke the 3-point record, and the guy asking the questions basically said, so who was the one who assisted on the three? And he just went, Rondo. Like, it was, he didn't want to say it, but that's the only time he mentioned Rondo.
Jeez, man, what a rip. All right. What was it, $20 to get in?
That's what that was. I was told, but I know if you do.
You do something.
I wasn't paying to watch that, dude.
So I wonder how many people who were there, you know, because you said so much people from UConn. I wonder how much of that was papered, like free tickets to just get in the door.
If they papered a theater and they could only get 200, that's one of the saddest things ever.
Yeah.
All right, Lamont Price, you're a very funny comedian. How do people get in touch with you, sir?
You could find me on my website, LamontPriceLive.com, Twitter, at LPizzle, L-P-I-Z-Z-L-E, and on Instagram, at LPizzle12, L-P-I-Z-Z-L-E-1-2.
All right, excellent. We'll have to have you up on the show soon.
Yeah, thank you, Lamar.
Let's do it. Thank you very much. Good times, anytime you need a payment.
All right, thank you, sir.
All right, see you, man.
I wonder if there really was an extra from Good Times named that.
If you are... if you're Ray Allen and you're looking at that crowd and it's like 200 people, don't you gotta like do a little meet and greet afterwards? Don't you gotta shake hands? You know, hey, if you want to come up and say hello,
no, I want to
sign
the hell out
books.
Of there.
Don't you gotta do that?
Nope.
See, here's the thing, and we saw him. He was in New York 2 days ago, Fred, and he did a couple of interviews. One was with Dave Portnoy at Barstool. It was 9 minutes long. It was the pizza challenge. So 3 minutes of it was pizza, and 6 minutes was Portnoy telling him, you know, I hated you. What's up with this? What's up with that? And Ray Allen actually took some negative questions and answered them back and looked human. I don't understand why he couldn't have done that last night. I mean, that was a good kind of run-up to his show in Boston, saying, okay, if you watch this, this is some of the stuff you're going to see. There was such... I'm by no means a PR maven, but it was easy to sell tickets to this show.
Well,
like a modicum of effort would have gotten a lot more people in the building.
Well, the best thing that's come out of all of this is it's really made me like Rondo even more. He said that when he was asked about some of the comments, he goes, everything that anyone's talking about in this book is about me. He goes, listen, if Ray Allen needed money, he could just come to me. I'll give him a loan or something. So Rondo is finally running his mouth when it comes. He's not holding back when it comes to their relationship, which I love.
All right, Rich, when we come back, what are we going to discuss?
Oh, yeah, finally. Rob Gronkowski got himself an acting gig.
Is it on the Roseanne?
No, it's not on the Roseanne. And it actually seems to be a movie that is legitimate. Now, his part may or may not be. Yes, it is a movie.
Oh, I thought it was a new television series. No. Okay, so we'll have that for you. Also find out what Zoe and Bertrand have on the way.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what did we not get to today?
Rob Gronkowski got himself an acting gig. There's been all this teasing about whether or not he was going to go Hollywood. Looks like he has signed up to star alongside. I say star alongside. The only thing about all this is we don't know what size of a role that he has in this. But there's a movie coming out that will be starring Mel Gibson and Frank Grillo. Is he the Punisher? Is he the Netflix Punisher? Anybody know who follows? He is. And it is a film directed by Joe Carnahan. He's done a couple of big movies before. He did the first Fast and Furious movie, I believe, called Boss Level. And the only thing is, I'm Naomi Watts is in it. It sounds like a legit movie. The one thing about it, however, is that I'm reading the plot of it, and it's about a retired Special Forces veteran who becomes trapped in a never ending loop that results in his death every day.
Boy, that's never been done before.
Wasn't that movie with Tom Cruise?
Yes.
That what was it called?
Exactly.
Live, Die, Repeat or Edge of Tomorrow?
Edge of Tomorrow. Groundhog's Day.
Well, that's what I'm saying,
Day.
Which was a ripoff of Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
So he lives this day. But the fact that he is a guy living his death over and over again, you know, trying to find a bag. I mean, that's what that Tom Cruise movie was. So I don't know what the hell they're doing, but it's being made. And Rob Gronkowski plays... It doesn't say exactly what his role is. I have a feeling he's guy who shows up, looks tough, and then the dude who is the Punisher throws him into a wall. And that's the end of it.
Gronkowski is part of some gang that, you know, kills him at one point.
Over under on the amount of words Rob Gronkowski will speak in this movie.
Okay, ooh. So to say is...
what are you doing here?
I'll say over
that's
under.
That's five.
Okay, over under is 15.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if that's five, then you're giving him three short sentences.
I'll give him three short sentences. That sounds about right.
I say he
20.
No, he gets one line, it's one sentence, and it's seven words.
And he has to just show up and look tough.
Yeah, show up and said, yeah. I thought I told you never to come back here.
Okay.
Something
very,
like that.
Very specific amount.
That's what I think.
Well, he's got to have a line, yeah. Because if he doesn't, there's like that SAG stuff that I don't think that you can get as paid as much. I could be completely wrong, but I believe you do have to have a speaking line, unless you're in that fish movie with the lady having sex with that fish.
The Shape of Water, yeah. You know who that guy is? He's been like a ton of movies and a ton of things that you would know. One of his first big gigs, the dude who was the fish, was Mac Tonight from the McDonald's commercials. He was the big moon man. In the original films. Yeah, he was the moon man.
That was a really successful campaign.
I still know the theme song to it. I remember it was a big deal when it came out. Now, it's not as good of a McDonald's commercial as one where Jason Alexander is losing his effing mind over the McDLT. That's one of the all-time greats.
The McDLT was something interesting because you would just assume that the lettuce and tomato would be cold.
It's where the hot stays hot and the cool stays cool.
All right. So maybe there isn't a SAG thing because that lady who has sex with the fish... the Shape of Water doesn't talk, so mm-hmm. Maybe I've just learned my lesson.
Someone called it Grinding Nemo, and I haven't thought of it any other way since. Thought that was fairly clever. By the way, another guy of the three, the people who robbed Rob Gronkowski during the Super Bowl, has been, I don't want to say captured, because he turned himself in. So this guy's name is Eric Tyrell. He was one of the one guy they caught, and they were looking for the other two. Apparently, he stole... from one of the rooms that was not Rob Gronkowski's. Apparently none of Gronk's stuff was stolen because he locked his door. But there were two...
They couldn't get through that lock, but they could get through every other lock in the house.
Right, so I guess Goon got the bad end of things.
Or maybe Goon just forgot to lock the door. And he was like, but that's why they call me Goon.
I guess, but he stole two 19th century coins. And of course,
Gronkowski collecting coins.
What is he
coins?
Doing? That's not Gronk. It's like other guys, not him.
Oh, he's living with like a dude that's just like super into stamp collecting.
Yes,
I call him stamps. Over here, I call him coins.
So the guy goes.
My crew.
The guy goes into one of these coin collector salesman dudes and gets ends up paying $1,700 for one of them and $1,800 for another one. And of course, they have to write down your name and everything. The FBI goes and says, "All right, well, that matches the ones that are missing from Gronk's house. You're under arrest." So the guy has now been put in on $1,000 bail.
If you come after my Ken Griffey Jr. Rookie cards, I'll know that it's one Wallach. Zolak and Bertrand are broadcasting live today from the Star Market Broadcast Studios at the TD Garden for Bruins game day, a big Bruins game tonight. Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Fred, welcome back.
Thank you, sir.
I got something for Wallach. Can I talk to Wallach quickly?
Yeah, okay? What's up?
Well, I've heard you say a couple of times this hour, and by the way, this is not a criticism of your show. It is a criticism of Ray Allen, that if he had come on, he would have sold out that show. There is no freaking way he would have sold out that show.
I was under the impression there were maybe 150 seats left, not 900.
Yeah, yeah. At first, it looked like there were just a few. Right. I do think we're worth at least that.
I think that the numbers were inflated. That's what I think.
You think 200 was inflated?
No, I think the number of available tickets remaining was actually less than what they actually could have had.
Oh, yeah, that was just me judging by going online and seeing the number of blue dots left as opposed to the gray ones. And at the time, you're right, they probably papered the place
to
get the place to fill up. But, yeah, I mean, but what a jackass. Go up there and doesn't even mention Rondo? Like, I mean, Fred's right, it's in the book. Talk about what's actually in the book, but he was afraid to do
it. I bet that book is such trash, too, because you can just tell. Doesn't want to do... You know, he got caught in that Portnoy interview because he had no idea what he was getting himself into.
Right.
He didn't go on with you guys because obviously there would be questions that he didn't want to answer. So, which tells me the book blows. Because if he just spilled it all in the book, people might actually read the book. I mean, what are we actually talking about? Your beefs with Rondo? You don't want to talk about your beef with Rajon Rondo? Dude, you want to sell books or not? Like, do you want people to hear you? You want to sell out the Wilbur? You want to do that crap? Lay it all out there.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you've written about it.
I mean he talks about it in the book. I have no idea why he wouldn't talk about it in an interview that people paid to get into. But that is on him completely.